Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carroll. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carroll analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Is counterterrorism Islamophobic? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carroll, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. Well, have you ever thought about that? Ilhan Omar has, and she would outlaw everything as Islamophobic if she could. And she is on her way because she just introduced a bill in Congress that has so far passed the House. If Ilhan had her way, she would outlaw any kind of counterterrorism. And this is because she's wanting to make everything. This is her agenda. She's been doing things all along once she got to Congress, probably even before, to make this country more vulnerable to radical Islamists. Now, Ilhan Omar, I want to remind you of this because this says it all. Ilhan Omar was the one who gave a speech at CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And she said, CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us stand to lose access to our civil liberties. Well, you know, she's talking about the radical Islamists who perpetrated 9/11. And some people did something. She doesn't even want to take responsibility or connect it to radical Islam at all. And I remember that the New York Post, which is really a much better newspaper than I realized when I was growing up, maybe it wasn't as good as it is now. I don't know. For 9/11, I mean, you know, the anniversaries, or when she said this, actually it started when she said this, they had it right away on their cover. Some people did something and they had a picture of the Twin Towers and the planes going into them. So that's who Ilhan Omar is. She's very anti-Semitic. She has been quoted it's not a secret. There are lots of quotes where her true agenda, her anti-Semitic agenda, is obvious. And yet somehow she manages to hold a lot of influence in Congress. And that is, you know, whether it's people don't want to seem Islamophobic, or she knows where the bodies are buried, or money has something to do with it, or, it really does boggle my mind how she is able to hold as much power as she does in Congress when people really do see her for who she is. Let me just tell you that AOC, Ilhan Omar, and the Squad are the true leaders of the Democratic Party, and they have a blatantly socialist and communist ideology that must be stopped, and I will add to that an anti-Semitic ideology. So this is what she has done now. So there was a party line vote, 219 to 212, the Democrats being the leading vote, in the House, and they passed the bill called Combating International Islamophobia Act. And it was co-sponsored by Ilhan Omar. And this bill calls upon the president, and we know Biden is going to do her bidding. So if this gets through the Senate, it is not going to be good. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, why am I saying something is bad about combating Islamophobia? Islamophobia isn't good. I'm certainly not a proponent of Islamophobia. In fact, in my book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror, I talk about Islamophobia, and I talk about how parents and teachers should teach kids about what it is and how they should teach kids to look at everybody judge everybody by what's in their heart. But that is not, this is not what Ilhan Omar means when she is passing this bill. Okay, so I'll tell you more about it. So the idea, she wants the president to appoint a special envoy to fight Islamophobia. This envoy will head up a State Department that will monitor the phenomenon. But now, this bill is wrongly focused in a lot of different ways. It is supposed to combat efforts to, quote, promote racial hatred against Muslims, even though Islam is not a race, and there are Muslims among people of all races. There are many other problems with the bill, including, notably, that it will inhibit counterterrorism efforts. Now, the Washington Post described this office that Ilhan wants to create as it would record instances of Islamophobia, including violence against and harassment of Muslims and vandalism of their mosques, schools, and cemeteries worldwide. Now, there is no, that all sounds fine, but there is no similar call for the State Department to create such reports about violence against or harassment of Christians and vandalism of their churches, schools, and cemeteries worldwide, or violence against Hindus or any other religious groups. So why would there be this special treatment for Muslims? It can't be because they're the most persecuted around the world. Christians and Jews are more persecuted than Muslims by far. This bill would prioritize the religious persecution of Muslims over the persecution of other religions. Let's see. So the idea of targeting propaganda efforts by state and non-state media to, quote, promote racial hatred or incite acts of violence against Muslim people, it doesn't define Islamophobia, and it's very subjective. And even it could include, and might well include, even reporting activity about jihad, and even looking at what makes terrorists terrorists, why are terrorists trying to attack us, all that kind of thing. So there are people, Republicans who, for the most part, who spoke out against the bill, but they were voted down by this really slim margin. A representative from Pennsylvania said that the bill, he warned about it, and he said that the bill would be used, quote, to silence dissent and critiques of terrorism. By intentionally leaving the definition of Islamophobia blank in this bill, the gentle lady and my friends on the other side of the aisle are creating an office in our State Department that will likely spew anti-Semitic hatred and attack Western ideas throughout the world under the farce of protecting Islam. So he happened to say, when he was making his speech in Congress, he was saying that that Omar is an associate of terrorists, and people like the Washington Post attacked him for saying that. Now, what he actually said was, We all agree that nobody should be persecuted based on their faith. We all agree on that. But American taxpayers shouldn't be forced to pay terrorist organizations that the maker of this bill is affiliated with, like the one that's an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terror finance case in the United States of American history. And he's talking about CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, that are BFFs with Ilhan Omar. CARE has opposed virtually every anti-terror measure that's been proposed or been implemented. It's been declared a terror organization even by the United Arab Emirates. There are all kinds of reasons why the one of the leaders of CARE has called for the overthrow of the U.S. government. I mean, they don't, they're not subtle. They don't hide what they really are out to do, even though they are pretending that it's all having to do with the discrimination against Muslims. But it's not, we're not talking about Muslims or even Islam here. Well, Council on American Islamic Relations. I mean, they hide, they are a wolf in sheep's clothing. So anyhow, I will, when we come back, I will talk more about this, but it is really something to be watched because if this passes the Senate, it really does prohibit, you know, so many things that are would be considered counterterrorism. I mean, that also is a big word that doesn't have a very narrow definition. I mean, you can make it a big word, just like you can make Islamophobia a big word, you know, to cover all kinds of things. And in the past, in my last couple of, especially the last podcast, I talked about how domestic terrorism is being used by Biden to cover all kinds of things, and other people are taking his lead. So we are in a dangerous situation here, because what this is doing is really harming is disempowering America to fight jihad. Well, stay tuned. We will come back and talk more about this. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about, is counterterrorism Islamophobia? Well, if Ilhan Omar had her way, all counterterrorism efforts or speeches, anything saying that jihad is bad and we shouldn't give in to terrorists would be considered Islamophobia and therefore outlawed. Well, obviously, this is a very dangerous idea. Again, I'm certainly not in favor of prejudice or discrimination against Islamists or against Muslims, but you know, there are but radical Islamists who are the terrorists. We certainly have to be on guard about, to say the least. So she has written this bill, co-authored this bill, and it has so far passed in the House, and it is going to go to the Senate. And if it passes the Senate and goes to Biden, we know that he is going to okay it, to go along with it. He's not going to veto it. And she wants us to believe that Islamophobia is as much a threat around the world as anti-Semitism. She wants the federal government to monitor, to report on, and to fight the spread of this hatred. What she's considering hatred. It is true that when people, whatever it is that people are fearing, whether it's people who aren't vaccinated or black people or, you know, any Chinese people, any kind of population, It is true that when you fear them, there does develop a hatred, because you're angry that you're scared, that they make you scared. Now she managed, and this sort of she managed to get a Jewish representative, Jan Schakowsky, to co-author this with her, and it was this is apparently typical of what she does. And I, you know, it really bothers me as a Jewish woman. It really bothers me that some Jews, I guess, including some in Congress, don't see through all of this and don't realize what the real agenda of all of this is. You know, if they read more or exposed themselves to more about Ilhan Omar's background, for example, and what she has done in the past, there's really no one could question that her main thing is destroying Israel and being anti-Semitic. But this is how she tries to avoid charges of anti-Semitism, by getting at least one Jew to go along with her on a bill. Now, if you look at the root of the word Islamophobia, it means the irrational fear or hatred of Islam. But that is really a word that was invented not to describe this irrational fear or hatred of Islam and Muslims, but in order to shut down any criticism of Islam, no matter how justified. So just to read that definition again, Islamophobia, the root of the word, means the irrational fear or hatred of Islam. But what Ilhan Omar is doing is broadening this, and not using it to just describe that, but is to shut down any criticism of Islam, no matter how justified. Like what she said about the Twin Towers, some people did something. You know, I guess she would consider that Islamophobic if we were to say that radical Islamists were the ones in the planes. So really, we really need to watch what is happening here. And for fear that, or I don't like to use that, you know, we have enough fear in the world, but to make sure that the Senate doesn't pass this bill for all the reasons that I just talked about. Now, let me just broaden this a little bit, the discussion a little bit, and say that, you know, we have been hearing already, not only has Biden been talking about, been broadening the concept of terrorism and talking about how domestic terrorists include parents who complain at PTA meetings, but really of anybody, he is to relate to anybody, to describe anybody who has a different political opinion than he does, in other words, conservatives. So, you know, we're coming up, we're about to hear another speech of Biden, you know, as the Omicron variant of COVID is affecting more people. It's much more easily transmitted, but it is not as serious. The symptoms aren't as serious. But he's about to make another speech. And, you know, his whole theme is anti-vaxxer. It's against people who aren't vaccinated. Well, and so, you know, his whole speech about how he's always talking anytime he can get a chance about how this is the epidemic of the unvaccinated. So I will not be surprised if in this next speech he calls the unvaccinated domestic terrorists. That's the next step. You've heard it here first. because, you know, he is doing everything he can to make people hate the unvaccinated. So unvaccinated phobia or something. So just wait. You heard it here first. Talking about domestic terrorists and how the use of that word has become so so overused to the point that it doesn't really make any sense. I want to tell you this story that may seem a little on a tangent, but I read it this morning and it really bothers me, and I'm sure it'll bother you too. And the point of why I'm telling you about it is because although this has nothing to do with Muslims or Islam or Jews or any other minority, well, any other sometimes where there's sometimes prejudice against them, this is a story about something that just happened in Minnesota. Minnesota is the hotbed of really all kinds of horrible things these days. You never heard about Minnesota until, you know, over the last couple of years. In any case, this is a story about an Instacart driver who ran over an elderly couple's groceries in their driveway. And this elderly couple obviously ordered groceries from Instacart. And a driver who's supposed to be delivering the groceries decided to come in the driveway and run over and over and over all of the packages that they ordered, all of their groceries, obviously ruining their groceries. Why did this Instacart driver do this? Because the people had a sign in their driveway that said, "Thank you, Blaine PD." Blaine, Minnesota is where they lived. So this driver didn't like them thanking the police, right? You know, this is a defund the police proponent. And so that's what she did. Now, she didn't only, her name is Tara Olivia Plum. She's 36, and she put a, the couple received a notification that their delivery had arrived, and they went outside to greet the delivery person because they didn't want her pulling in the snow-covered driveway and getting stuck. They were trying to do something nice, right? But when they opened the door, she yelled at them to check inside of their Christmas wreath. And that's when she drove up and down the driveway, smashing their groceries. They looked in their wreath, and there was a note from Tara. And it said, "Instacart doesn't pay employees. Sorry. Find another slave. F the racist police pigs." There's a happy ending to the, there's a happy ending to the story. But I mean, here is this woman. Now they have a picture of it, of her. She doesn't look, you can't tell, I should say, from her picture what ethnic background she is. The only thing you can tell about her is that she has purple hair. obviously a radical against society in general, or against people who like the police. So now the police aren't considering this a hate crime because they didn't think they would have had to prove that it was committed based on the victim's perceived race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, disability, age, or national origin, which it probably wasn't. But she is she is under investigation for it, and she could spend time in jail unless she gets a progressive DA. In any case, the happy ending part is where a younger family member of this elderly couple set up a grocery fund on GoFundMe, and they raised over $13,000 before the person who put up the page took it down, because that was more than enough. And she said that, you know, this is not only is this going to be good for their groceries, to replenish their groceries, but apparently they needed money for medical expenses. So my point of telling you this story is that there is too much hatred in the world, period. You know, and people find things to hate about other people, whether it's you know, their race or religion, or they don't get vaccinated, or, I mean, we are just exploding in hate, and this is not good for anybody. So to introduce a bill against Islamophobia, it's like a drop in the bucket. It would really have to be a bill against all of these kinds of prejudices. And, you know, yes, that would be great, but there are laws, you know, discrimination laws, hate crime laws and all that, but in terms of setting up this committee or department that Ilhan Omar wants, and making Islamophobia a more important crime, that is not fair. All right, we will, when we come back, I will tell you some more things that relate to this. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about, is counterterrorism Islamophobia? And of course, the answer is no, except unless you're Ilhan Omar and you're able to convince Congress that the answer is yes. Just want to make one more comment about the story that I just told you. In regard to, you know, when I've been talking in previous podcasts about the dilution, you know, how the words terrorism and domestic terrorism, I was talking about it in relation to the school shooters in these previous podcasts, the last couple, how it's getting diluted. You know, one could make the argument, and I am not doing this, but if one dilutes these words, terrorism and domestic terrorism, one could make the argument that this Instacart driver, follow me here now, was a lone wolf terrorist, because certainly she created terror in the elderly couple standing on their doorstep watching their packages be run over beyond their ability to actually eat the food. And because she undoubtedly had some socio-political agenda, which was she wanted to defund the police, and she was angry that they were thanking the police. Now, I am not really suggesting that we call her a lone wolf terrorist. I am merely making another example of how if you dilute these terms, or misconstrue some of the terms, such as Islamophobia, the way Ilhan Omar wants to do it, then they lose meaning, and it makes it very confusing, and we lose some of the most important points. Okay, now, I was mentioning how there are many, many instances. In fact, I've done a podcast a while ago about Ilhan Omar, because she's been this way anti-Semitic and pro-jihad since she got into Congress. So you can find a previous podcast about her. It has Ilhan Omar in the title. And so she has a long history. And if you've been following anything about Congress or terrorism, you certainly know this about Ilhan Omar and how she's trying to destroy Israel, being part of BDS and all of that. You know, the plan to destroy Israel through economic means, you know, through boycott, divest, and sanction BDS. She's certainly a very pro-BDS person and makes no bones about it. And this is a person in Congress in America. I mean, that alone is just shocking. Now, here's a story about something that just happened. The Palestinian Authority, in case you don't think that they, if you're wondering about, you know, whether they are terrorists, the Palestinian Authority brainwashes or just had an event to brainwash fourth grade girls, trying to get them to get excited about, happy about how Israel's destruction is inevitable. Okay, so they are teaching them to hate. Now, it's kind of similar in a way. It's the Middle East version of CRT. In the sense that they are rewriting history so that these Palestinian students, will believe that Israel has taken over their lands. In other words, they're not teaching history the proper way for a purpose, which is to get these children to hate Israel and to ultimately be part of the destruction of Israel. So not only are they teaching them to hate Israel, but it's teaching them to work towards the obliteration of Israel, and they're making it seem like an Islamic duty. Now, this is probably, I'm sure, if Ilhan Omar was hearing me talk about this, she would say I was Islamophobic. I don't think anybody should be hating anybody unless the person is, first of all, is doing what they are accused of, and second of all, you know, being a danger to humanity. So there's a chance. There's a chance that the pro-Palestinian movement chants from the river to the sea. And this is what they mean by this is Palestine is Arab from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And that its capital is Jerusalem, and it will be liberated sooner or later. That's what, you know, this is the shorthand for meaning that Palestine owns Israel. It's really Palestine's land, which is not true if you know history. In getting back to these fourth grade students, what they had them do, the Palestinian Authority, they were brainwashing these fourth grade girls, and they called it a national educational activity. They had the girls make dummy Palestinian identity cards with Palestinian flags on them, and they posed the girls with these identity cards on a background of drawings and signs featuring keys symbolizing the Palestinian refugees' quote right of return. So they're standing in front of these, like a blackboard, where there are these drawings, you know, children's drawings that they obviously must have made, that all have this same theme of how Palestine owns Israel, or Israel is on Palestinian land. Right, and so that, you know, the right of return to Israel as though it were Palestinians home first. So they are, of course, denying the right of Israel to exist, and they're teaching this to the children. They posted this on on social media, and they wrote the flowers, they're referring to the young girls, of the Al Isra Elementary School, held a national educational activity, dummy Palestinian identity cards. They don't mean dummy, like stupid. They mean fake Palestinian identity cards. And the purpose of it was to strengthen the national affiliation and to establish it. And basically that is, Palestine is Arab from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. Its capital is Jerusalem, and it will be obliterated sooner or later. That is the theme of the lesson. And with the, you know, with the identity cards, and with these drawings and behind them and so on, that is what, and these little girls, you know, they look like such innocent, sweet little girls, and they are being brainwashed. Again, not unlike what is happening in America with CRT, where black children are being told that white children are their oppressors, and white children are being told that they are evil because they are white. and these kids would normally, and similar to these children that I was just talking about, these fourth graders, you know, children do not grow up, I mean, unless they're being brainwashed, they do not grow up with hatred for children of a different color or who look different in any way. When they're born, they do not come into the world with any kind of hatred. It's like that song in The King and I, they've got to be taught. They've got to be carefully taught. And that is what's happening, both in regard to, you know, from what the Palestinian Authority is doing to these children, as well as what is happening in our own classrooms. They're being carefully taught to hate other children. So needless to say, in a perfect world, we wouldn't need bills passed in Congress against the discrimination of any group. And yes, this is not a perfect world. And if it was, you know, if there were bills, a bill passed or bills passed protecting all of the people who get discriminated against, and there are already a lot of bills, but not in the same way or not to the same extent that the Ilhan Omar bill does. There is not, for example, an anti-Semitic bill like that or an anti-Christian bill like that. Those other groups, religious groups, are not protected in the same way that Ilhan Omar wants to protect people, the Islamists, through because of claiming all of this, blaming all of this on so-called Islamophobia. Now, again, I do want to say that I am not for Islamophobia. I am not for the fear of people who practice Islam, and I am not for the fear of people who look different in any way. I am all for tolerance, but this bill goes a lot farther. And again, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Really, this is a Trojan horse, that really the purpose of it is to make it easier for jihadists to invade America. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.